Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We're going to go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, and let's read it together. I'm reading the NLT version, and it reads, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is a wonderful, beautiful passage of scripture we've read today. And I want to speak to you a message titled, "Your New Nature." Can you say that with me? Your new nature. Amazing. So a couple of years ago, I don't know if anyone here likes to go camping. Put your hand up if you love a good camp. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I wasn't on this camping trip, but a couple of years ago, my brother and siblings decided to take my 60-year-old Asian mother camping for the first time in her life. Unfortunately, I wasn't there to witness this incredible feat, but they told me that they gave her a tent and they put her in there with an inflatable mattress, and she had to sleep on that. And in the middle of the night, my siblings tell me that they could hear her like having to, the pump was in there, and they could hear her like pushing the pump to inflate the mattress in the middle of the night, and they could hear like the air like slowly dissipating with that high-pitched squealing sound. My poor mother unfortunately woke up in the morning on a deflated mattress, sleeping on the floor, and that was the first and last time my 60-year-old Asian mother went camping. And the mattress, where am I going with this? I've got no idea. No. The mattress, when you go to the store to buy a mattress, we know that that mattress has got one purpose in life, and that is to give you a comfortable night's sleep. And it's a shame when something that is supposed to do the thing it was created to do doesn't fulfill that purpose. And you and I have been designed by God with purpose. We read in Peter that the first scripture we read today was, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And so God's desire for us is to live a godly life. That's part of our purpose. But unfortunately, sometimes when we have brokenness, all it took was the tiniest hole in that mattress to deflate it completely of its purpose. And for you and I, there is brokenness in our life. There is brokenness that can inhibit the work of God that he would desire to do in and through us. We read this list of virtues in verse 5. Peter lists these moral virtues. He says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love for everyone. There is so much in there, and there's more. When you read the Bible, there's a lot more things that God is calling us all to live this godly life. And so we're all human. We all struggle. When I look at that list, if I was to audit my life against that list, I know I would find myself severely lacking, you know, with patient endurance, self-control, brotherly affection, love for everyone. Just, do I really live up to that? I think we all struggle with that. There is no one here with moral superiority in that space. And not only does it affect us, but it affects the people that have to put up with us, the people that we live with, the people that go to work with us. The Bible says, you know, Jesus said the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But he said a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. It is equal. And so when I read this, I see that it is important to God that we would treat how we treat each other, how we live in our relational world, that when we go to work and when we relate to our parents and our siblings and our family and our friends, that our broken nature, unfortunately, sometimes gets in the way of that and can cause this unhealthiness to come up in our life. But I've got good news for you today. And the good news is that your brokenness is actually an opportunity to share in the divine nature of God. The scripture literally said it today. He said in verse 4, these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And so that means that we all have an access today to a new nature. We have access to it. What an incredible opportunity to access his nature that supersedes my broken, human, carnal, sinful nature. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he understood this. He said that God had said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Is this a joke? He delights in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Is anyone delighted in an insult this week? For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so Paul understood this concept that it was a privilege to be able to access that in my weakness and in my brokenness, I have the opportunity here to access the divine nature of Christ. It is a new nature that is not my own. It is his nature that I can actually access. And God paid a price for us not just to have salvation, but to access this new nature today. And so we don't have to wait till we die and go to heaven to be able to walk in to like access his divine nature. It's available today. And so how do we access this? Well, the first thing is that we access the divine nature of Christ by revelation. By revelation. We need to get a revelation. And so I want to show this picture today to illustrate this point of a tabernacle. Okay, so in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, the people of Israel, were God's people. And this is thousands of years ago. God asked them to set up a tabernacle because they lived in the wilderness. They just lived, you know, wherever they lived. And he asked them in the center of where they lived to set up this tabernacle. And it looked like this is actually a replica in Israel. I thought it was an AI picture, but no, it's legit. So they've done like a real replica. And so in the middle of where they would all live and camp around this place, they would set up a tabernacle in the middle, and God set that up because his presence would dwell. And so in that, you'd walk in and there's this place where you would burn incense and sacrifice animals to atone for sin. And the priests, there were priests that would represent the people to God. And the priests were allowed to go in there and make these sacrifices to atone for sin and all the guilt and all the things going on in their life. And then there was this other tent where there was the place called the Holy of Holies, and that's where the presence of God would actually reside in that physical place. And so in order for the presence of God to live among his people, the people needed to be pure. They needed to be clean. And so the priests would do these, they would have to get ceremonially or ritually clean to be able to enter the presence of God on behalf of the people. And the people would also actually have to be clean. So like if they touched something moldy, or if they touched like a dead animal, or if they had a disease or touched someone with the disease, they were considered unclean. And so they had to go through a number of steps and go see a priest and figure out what the steps were in able to get clean. Where am I going with this? We're going somewhere. So the reason why this was set up, and the reason why there was so much, you know, ceremonial ritual things that had to take place, is because God is holy. And so for man to be able to access the presence of God and for to have God dwell in your life, like, you have to be clean because he is holy. And Tim Mackey from the Bible Project explains God's holiness like this. He says God's holiness is kind of like the sun. We need this. The sun is huge, and we need the sun for life, for light. It helps us grow. None of us would be here without the sun. We actually need it to live. But if you were to try and get close to the sun, you would die. If you were to touch the sun, you would die. And such is kind of is where they're trying to explain the holiness of God, is that God is so pure and he's so clean and he's so holy and he is a good God, but he is so unfathomable and so good and so holy that if we were to get near him, you know, we could die. And so this is how the people of God could connect with him at that time. 3,000 years later, Jesus walks onto this earth. Jesus enters the scene. And Jesus is a man, but he's 100% God as well. And Jesus was fully holy. And Jesus was perfect and he did not sin. But something different happened when people touched Jesus. And so we read in Mark 1:41, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. And moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. So we see this crazy thing happening where if you were to even try and get close to the presence of God in that tabernacle, if you weren't a priest, like if you tried to walk in there, you would die. If the priests were not clean, they had to literally wash themselves and do all these things. And if they were not clean and pure, they could have died. But then 3,000 years later, Jesus walks on and he flips the script a bit and he adds a new layer to this. And he says, well, I've actually come to fulfill what happened in the Old Testament. I am instead of you doing all of these steps to get to me, to get clean, to get whole, to get pure, instead of that, I have actually come down from heaven, walked upon this earth, and instead of us touching him and dying, when man touches Jesus, his divine nature touches man and supersedes their broken nature and brings healing upon that place. And this is what you need to understand, that you have access to the divine nature of Christ, that when it touches you, it actually makes you completely clean and whole. That you have access to the full wholeness of God right now, not because of anything you have done, not because you sacrificed a bunch of things and got clean and didn't touch the things and got pure, but because Jesus came down from this earth and gave access to himself to you. And not because of anything you have done, but simply if you would let him touch your life, he would bring wholeness to your life. He would bring wholeness. So we need to get a revelation of this. This is a revelation that he's already cleansed you. I know this is wild, but he has already cleansed you and made you whole, which means, like Peter said, you have everything you need to live a godly life. This also means that your brokenness is not who you are. This is good news. Your brokenness is not who you are anymore, because when he touched you, he made you whole and made you clean. And the enemy would have us believe that our human nature is rooted in brokenness and the struggle, and that's just who we are. And we commit these sins and we face these things and we think, oh, it's just who I am. You know, I struggle with anxiety. It's just who I am. I've tried to do all these things to stop being anxious, but it's just who I am. Or growing up, my family never had good relationships, and so I struggle to have good relationships, and we lash out at each other, and that's what was exposed to me as a child, and now that's how I live, and that's just who I am. Or it's like, I struggle with this addiction in my life, and I've tried so hard to put it away, and I've been through it for many years, and it's just who I am. But you need to understand that your identity is not found in your brokenness or your struggle. That is actually not who you are. And your life doesn't need to be controlled by an ungodly nature anymore. Your life does not need to be controlled by your broken nature anymore. But we have access to the nature of Christ. And so I've actually been married 12 years now. My husband's name is Judson. And when we were first married, we got into a bit of an argument. Can't remember what it was about because it was that long ago. But I remember, you know, we had an argument and I was whatever. And then I wanted to come back and apologize. And when I came back, I just felt so bad and I felt rubbish. Things that I'd said or whatever we'd talked about. And I just wasn't, I was kind of embarrassed and humiliated about the way that I was acting and the things that I'd said. And I came to him and I just apologized and I said, I'm so sorry. And I don't want to be like this and I've done it before and I don't want to say these things and do these things. And Judson looked at me in the eyes before he said anything else. And he said, Clara, you're a good wife. You're a good wife. After I'd said things or after we'd talked at each other badly and after we'd got through this heated argument, the first thing he would say to me is, actually, you're a good wife. And, you know, that might seem insignificant to you, but for me, I saw the picture of Christ in that moment, and that gave me a revelation. That was my point of revelation. I was like, wow, you know, God doesn't, the way that he's looking at me right now is the way that God sees me, in that when I say the things and do the things and I make mistakes, God actually sees us through this lens and through this the eyes of wholeness and cleanliness and purity and wholeness because he's touched my life. And so we have to get this revelation that you have been made whole already. And this is not based on situation. This is based on position. And so that means that when you walk out of church today, as scandalous as this might sound, if you make a mistake, your position in Christ does not change. It's wild. It does not. Not because of you're awesome. It's because he is awesome. Because he has made us clean. Because he's imputed that holiness onto us. And so it's not situational. He's done it once and for all. It's immovable. And so you need to get a revelation of that today. This will change your life. That you have access to everything he has for you. And the second thing is that we access the divine nature of Christ by faith. Faith is super important. In fact, in that scripture we read in 2 Peter, before he lists the moral virtues, he says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, da 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 da. So faith is the precursor. Like, you need faith in order to access this position. So we might know it from a head. You might know it because I'm telling you today, or you might understand it from head knowledge. But when you access it by faith, you actually need to receive it into your life. So I have two daughters and my eldest, Haven, she's 6 and she's in year 1. And so I want you to just imagine a scenario with me that's hypothetical. But imagine if I got her ready for school, which I do, and packed her lunchbox and put it into a bag and got her water bottle and got her ready and drove her to school and dropped her off. And imagine if Haven walked into school and started begging people for food. That would be crazy. I'd be like, daughter, what are you doing? First of all, what? Stop that. But that's never going to happen, right? That would be ludicrous. And it's the same with this because she is my daughter. Everything she needs in life right now, I got for her. I got her covered. She needs lunch. She's got the lunchbox. It's prepped. She didn't have to do anything. I've done it all for her. It's in her lunch bag. It's in her bag. And so to walk around and still be begging for something you don't have seems crazy. And so why is it when the people of God have been given everything we could possibly need to live a godly life, and we're walking around with the backpack of the position of God placed upon our life, that we are his son and we are his daughter. But just because you have access doesn't mean you're accessing. Just because it's sitting in the backpack doesn't mean she's opened it and pulled out the lunch and she's eating it. And so for you, it's as simple as this. It's faith. It's going, you know what? God's saying all it takes is faith to believe that I have given you what you need, that you have peace already for your anxiety, that you have patience. You better believe it. You better believe it. Those of you with young children, you know, you actually have it already. It's in your toolkit. Jesus says in Matthew 21, he says, you can pray for anything. And if you have faith, you will receive it. If you have faith, faith is not a feeling. It does feel good when you feel full of faith. And sometimes we walk into church and we feel full of faith. And we're like, I feel full of faith today. Or we walk into church and we're like, I don't feel full of faith. I feel a bit, you know, whatever. But Bill Johnson actually says that faith is something that you can activate. It is not a feeling. It's not based on that. And so you might not feel, based on something that you did, not very patient today, or not that your self-control, you didn't feel very great today. But by faith, you can actually open the word, receive the promises God has for you, and by faith, receive that peace and receive that patience into your life. It's a different mindset when you pray, because it becomes a mindset of, God, I thank you that you have given me peace, or you have given me patience, rather than, God, please, I beg you, God, I need it. Like, God, please give me something I don't have. No, it's actually realizing who you already are, what you've already got available to you. Faith. And the last thing is we access the divine nature of Christ by being intentional. We've got to be intentional. You know, this is the part where we've got to put the work in. And it's important that this point is number three, because you need point one and two before you try to strive to be sanctified or strive to be a better person. You'd actually need the revelation first to understand your position and your identity in Christ. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to join me, but we're going to read Ephesians 4:22. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Throw off your old sinful nature, it says, your former way of life, and put on your new nature, created to be like God. So this passage of scripture is speaking to me of intentionality, this idea that you have the authority in Christ to throw something off you, to throw off an old way of thinking, to throw off an old way of doing something. In another translation, it says put off. And you have the ability, like we've been talking about, to put on the new nature. But just because you've put something on doesn't mean you've put that old thing off. And so that's where intentionality comes in, where we have to get a revelation to put that thing on. But we've also got to put off that old way of brokenness, that old way of broken behavior, or broken thinking. And so what does this look like? Well, it looks like maybe having to see a professional counselor or a psychologist. You know, I've been there. I celebrate it. It's so important to see someone that's trained in how we think and how our mind is. Or it's signing up to different courses at church where we're, you know, Freedom Days and Whole and Free and things like that, where you can actually work on some things. Or sometimes for me, it's coming up at church. We would call the front, in front of the stage here on the floor, the altar, we would call it. It's a place where you can come and receive prayer ministry and lay some things down before God. And I know at an altar is where, you know, I've received deliverance. I've received the power of God come and intervene supernaturally in my life. And sometimes it's just a moment of just laying something down again. It's that intentionality that God sees, the humility that you bring in. God sees your heart. And sometimes it's also, for me, it's opening the Word of God, things that I've been working on my own life for years, and claiming by faith that I have what I need from the Word of God, and just sitting there on my bed and praying scriptures over my life, allowing it to renew my mind. And sure, sometimes in the moment, it's not a feeling. It's not, oh, I feel like I've overcome this issue right now. Praise God. Sometimes it is. But most of the time, it's just a renewing. It's just get the Bible and get it into you, get it into your spirit. And then over time, I found that as we are intentional to do these things, over time, sometimes it's the you have a moment where someone prays for you or God touches you, and that's amazing. But most of the time for me, it's been years of just over time intentionally going to God, intentionally coming to the front, getting prayer, telling my connect what's going on, getting, you know, and then I look back now 10 years later and I'm like, whoa, I'm actually a different person. And you forget because you're walking this journey and it's tough and life is hard sometimes. But then when you put the work in, you get the revelation, you put the work in and you look back, you'll see God completely transforming you from the inside out. And I put my hand up and say, am I a perfect Christian? Absolutely not. Have I done all these things over... I've been a Christian my whole life, thank God, because I was introduced to Jesus at a young age. And so I've had the privilege of walking with the Lord. And so... but it hasn't been perfect. But as I've looked back and as I go all these things, have I done all of these things? Yes, I've had to put the work in and I still will and still do. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. We need to be intentional. It's like, what a shame it would be to be Christian by title, but not by nature. For your work colleagues to know that you are a Christian by title, they're like, oh yeah, that's the Christian guy, or she's Christian, and they know that you go to church. But does your nature, do you have the Christian nature that when something happens at work and your boss comes down hard on you, and how do you respond? Or, you know, someone's doing, saying things or stuff at work, or what are you going to do? Or something happens at church, what, someone says something in Connect Group and you get offended, well, how... are you a Christian just by title, or do you look like Jesus? Do you smell like Jesus? Do you act like him? And in verse 8 from 2 Peter that we read today, the last verse we read, he says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that. Because it's true that when you deal with the areas of brokenness and you plug those holes and you allow the Holy Spirit to remind you who you are, when you do that, you're able to be more productive for God, it says. Not that you can't be, not that God can't use you at all. We're all broken. God is using me right now in my brokenness and using you. But it's the more, it says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. And you know, there's more God has for your life. He's got healthy relationships with you, for you. He's got a healthy marriage for you, friendships for you. He's got a healthy work relationships for you. He's got more for this church. You know, do you think God has a heart for the city of Belmont? He certainly does. Does he want more people to come to know him this Christmas? He certainly does. And so, but he uses us. Like when we pray for revival, it's not just this thing that comes out in thin air. The people of God have to step up and have to be used by God to be productive and to disciple people. And imagine if 1,000 people joined Belmont today. Imagine if 1,000 people got saved today. Are you ready in this room to step up and disciple someone, a new believer? And that's the thing. It's that when we deal with those broken areas and understand who we are in Christ, Scripture says the more you grow like this, the more productive you and useful you will be. And so as we work on these things in the same breath, God can then begin to unlock more for our life that we can. You know, some of you would think, man, I would never want to be a Connect leader. Like, I could never do that. Or maybe you've been hurt from a previous church or whatever it is, and it's hard to even think about serving again or leading again. And it's like, you know what, if we deal with these things that hurt us, and I don't want to not affirm that because those feelings are valid and that's hard. But if we were to allow God to process that with us and allow his healing power to come in and come and get prayer and go talk to the prophet or whatever it may be, and to go, I don't want to live with this grudge or this offense or whatever it is anymore, that God could use you in such an amazing way to see not only your life change, but this city won for him. And so what is it for you in your nature that God is, the Holy Spirit is pointing, putting his finger on today? And it's going to be different for everyone. And he's a kind God. He doesn't put 10 things on us. He always just hints to us something. So as I've been talking, the Holy Spirit would have just reminded you of something or spoken to you about an area or whatever that is, an area of your thinking or an area of your with your words or an action or whatever it may be. What is it for you that we need, that God is highlighting today? Because we don't have to run away from that. We can come to God. We don't need to hurt each other. We can access His new nature and look and sound more like Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.